Governor Bruce Rauner delivering his third annual budget message to a joint session of the Illinois General Assembly here at the Illinois State Capitol in the Illinois House of Representatives Chambers. Good afternoon. I'm Jack Dichner of Illinois Public Television, along with Amanda Vinicky of Channel 11 in Chicago and Rich Miller of the Capitol Facts newsletter. An interesting note as the governor got to the meat of the speech, as he's talking about the issues and the things that he wants out of the grand bargain, he had a teleprompter fail.
The Russians attacked, apparently. I don't know. He quoted the speaker as saying that. That was odd. There were a lot of odd things about this speech. I don't think, you know, I've been around longer than Amanda, but Amanda's been around quite a long time. Have you ever heard a governor derisively laugh at?
No, I mean, I think we have heard a couple of laughs and hoots and hollers from the legislative peanut gallery throughout the years, but never like this, never so loud, so vociferous, so many hoots, and it was laughing at, not with, the governor, save for when the teleprompter went down. A little bit of levity, and it seemed as if you had bipartisan laughter there, but by and large, Democrats either had stone faces and no applause when he was saying things like, we got to work together. They clearly weren't buying it. And then cracking up when he talked about having previously balanced the budget, or at least presented plans to do that.
When the governor walked in, or before the governor walked in, there were signs on some of the House Democrats' desks down here that said, Rauner budget equals fake news. House Republican leader tried to get those taken down, but the speaker said it's free country, basically.
The governor has, except in the House, the governor has claimed that his first two budgets were balanced, and they can trot out their guys, their lawyers, and the budget office to make that case. But on its face, that is absolutely false. So he did not, and that's balanced the budget, proposed balanced budgets, and that's why he was laughed at. The bigger laugh point, though, I think, was when he said it's not the time for blame. You know, we shouldn't be pointing fingers at each other. His state Republican Party has been a machine attacking Democrats of all stripes.
Well, they're attacking Republicans, too, and the governor.
No. I'm talking about the Illinois
Republican
GOP.
Some of his allies have attacked Republican leadership. And I think to that end, however, I called the state Republican Party and said, hey, are you going to stand up for example, it was Senate Leader Christine Rodonio that really took a lashing from some of these allies of Rauner, those who he's given a lot of money to, and they had no comment whatsoever. So they're either his party that he's largely funded is, as you said, lashing, and then it just continues. I think that was where that laughter stems from.
One of the big takeaways on it, he is open to increasing the income tax, but he says it has to be matched by a permanent property tax, and it could be that income tax could be rolled back later.
Yeah, it could be rolled back eventually. He promised when he first ran for governor that he would roll that income tax all the way back to 3 percentage points by the end of his term. I want to say one real quick thing. This is Steve Schnorf's last budget address.
Yes.
Steve Schnorf was budget director under two Republican governors. He's got terminal cancer. I know he's watching now.
Yes.
And I just wanted to give a shout out to him and say I hope they can get something done before he leaves.
One of the true great bipartisan leaders in the state, and one of the true budget experts, Steve Schnorf. We wish him and his family only the best during this very difficult time. Rich Miller, Amanda Vinicky, thanks so much. We appreciate your time, as always, on Illinois Lawmakers. Up next, we'll be hearing from the Deputy Senate Republican Leader, Bill Brady of Bloomington. Our spending proposals are significant, the governor says, but if we came together under one proposal, we came together on a grand bargain, we'd actually spend $3 billion less than the government is currently spending in order to achieve those results. He says that he would propose a number of changes inside state government and save the state money. He says if we do nothing, we can expect our pension costs to grow by $1 billion over the next year. He says those pension payments put an unsustainable strain on not only our pension systems, but on the state's ability to pay for schools and other critical services. He says we have to act now, and our time is of the essence. We will continue to pursue improvements, the governor says, in our state employee contracts to make reasonable changes, like moving state employees from a 37.5-hour week to a 40-hour week work week before overtime kicks in. And they'll base that on employee pay on employee merit.
So we're still on.
Maybe go back to, as you just read from some of the speech there, some of the actual material that we heard from Governor Bruce Rauner. After waiting for him to weigh in on this Senate bipartisan plan, we did finally get some detail.
Right.
I believe that he talked about not wanting to add a sales tax to food and medicine. That is something that, as much as I know, is not actually in the legislation. It was something that was proposed, trying to figure out how we can come up with raising more money after, you know, just in trying to figure out how to balance this puppy. It's all a moving target.
That was in there to replace something else that they took out, that opportunity tax, but it polls horribly. It polls almost as horribly as putting a tax on retirement income in Illinois. What they want, what he was talking about when he said, we don't want something, a plan by the lobbyists, or to listen to the lobbyists on this. Mm-hmm. What he was referring to is a tax on sugary drinks. The lobbyists descended heavily on Springfield to kill that and get it out of the Senate plan. But what the governor's people have been telling me consistently all along is that tax, and it's backed up by other polls I've seen, is supported by the good majorities of the people of the state of Illinois. So they would like to get a tax hike, at least one of the tax hikes, that people can say, okay, that's cool, I like that, go ahead, tax it.
Did you hear anything in there that, based on what we know of the Senate's grand bargain, was a deal killer coming from the governor?
Permanent property tax freeze sounds, unless he's willing to modify that and say, I'll go for a temporary property tax freeze along with a temporary income tax or a scaled back, scaled down. I know.
The trouble, that was what we had the last time around, right, was a temporary income tax hike. Hence, we were left with this political upheaval. So anytime you get this temporary notion, he also talked about perhaps rolling back that income tax hike if it, in fact, is raised. Again, something that's complicated to set any sort of time for because you don't know what decisions. And right now, Illinois' budget is in such deep distress that it would kind of set that pattern right in place back over again. Nonetheless, that is some kind of red meat for his allies. And that is something also, he talked again about term limits, not something that is part of this grand bargain. The governor didn't necessarily say that it needs to be in there, but he continued talking about it. It is something that is very important to him and saying we need some sort of true systematic change.
From what I was told earlier this morning, that they would probably, they would take leaders' term limits, which is in the Senate's grand bargain package. 10-year term limits on leaders.
One of the things that we haven't talked about, though, is what happens if this thing gets to the House. We don't know what its fate would be over here.
So, for example, 10-year term limit on leadership in the House, how's that going to fly, do we think?
I know the Speaker's mother lives into her 90s, so he may be around a while.
So another automatic killer is what we're saying, basically.
But maybe, or maybe not. We don't know. I mean, here's the thing. If that's a big if they could get this thing out of the Senate and over to the House, and the governor, if the governor says he can support it, and if the House Republican leader, Jim Durkin, who's going to be coming up here, says he can support it, then the only holdout is one guy, and the pressure will be enormous. Now, there's a lot of ifs there, because that assumes a lot of things.
Rich,
but I think that's the end game here.
The end game is what we're all looking to see. Rich Miller, Amanda Vinicky, thanks so much for your time on Illinois Lawmakers. This is live coverage of the governor's budget message on Illinois Public Radio and television. As the governor was saying a little earlier, most Illinois families have seen their health insurance premiums skyrocket. Business owners across the country, he says, are forced to make hard decisions on managing soaring health care costs. So imagine what Illinois families are thinking when they hear state employees get Cadillac Platinum coverage for barely more than bronze rates. So he wants changes on state employee health insurance. He wants more health care options for state employees as well. Other opportunities for budget savings, he says, cutting the red tape in how the state buys goods and services. Time to implement best practices there. As well for cooperative purchasing opportunities to ensure that taxpayers get the biggest bang for their buck. Procurement reform, he says, could save hundreds of millions of dollars next year alone for the people of Illinois. He brought up again selling the James R. Thompson Center in Chicago and trying to get rid of that prime block of real estate in the middle of downtown Chicago. We are now getting ready to be joined on Illinois Lawmakers by House Conference Committee Chairman, Democrat Greg Harris of Chicago. Good to have you on the program, sir. Oh,
thanks for having me.
What is your primary takeaway from what the governor had to say today? He had some give and take with what the Senate's grand bargain is.
Yeah, I think we're all trying to find a way to restore our state's fiscal stability. You can see a clearly different path in the governor's approach, which would favor giving money back to corporations, as opposed to the Democrats' plan, where we would favor giving money back to families. And then for small businesses and startups, which are the basis of job growth in this country and in this state, we would reduce the corporate income taxes for small employers to urge on growth.
Was this budget balanced from what you can tell?
From what we can tell now, it is the third unbalanced budget we have seen. You know, the governor talked about a lot more spending on social service and violence prevention programs, which is good. A lot more spending on K-12 funding, which is good. But then there are no sources for the revenue that he discussed. He talked about $1 billion in pensions, $500 million in cuts to health care, the sale of the Thompson Center. These are not things that are authorized in law yet, so you probably can't count on that $2 billion until it passes.
He did open the door again to increasing the income tax in the state of Illinois, but he didn't like the idea of a permanent income tax. And said that what he would like to see instead would be a permanent property tax and freeze for the state of Illinois.
And in the House, we have passed several versions of a property tax increase. I was glad to hear him say that because the House has done that repeatedly. It has not moved in the Senate. The House has also passed redistricting reform, which was one of his key elements. And the House has also passed workers' comp reform and has sent it to the Senate. So there are opportunities to work together. We may need to work out some details.
He did indicate that he's interested in hearing more about workers' compensation reforms. He said that there's another blue state, Massachusetts, that has workers' compensation system that he thinks the state of Illinois could adopt.
Well, here's the problem. In 2011, we did a workers' comp reform, and you saw massive reductions in the payouts to medical providers and to some workers. But what happened, though, was the savings was not passed on to the employers. It was caught and put into the pockets of the insurance companies. We would prefer an approach that would require the insurance companies to pass on the savings to the employers so that our state businesses get the advantage of the reform.
Speaker Madigan's talked about that for a number of years now. What would you actually have to do to put get some teeth in that?
There are different ways we can do it. We would have to pass new laws that would require a transfer of the savings down to the actual person who would enjoy the benefits. It's a lot like the MLR in the healthcare industry that says that an insurance company can only keep X amount for profit and overhead. The rest of the money they charge you in premiums actually has to go to delivering healthcare to people. So it's a concept that exists.
One of the questions, of course, that comes with this, we've been talking primarily about what is a Senate product, the grand bargain and negotiation between the Senate leaders, John Cullerton, Democrat of Chicago, and Christine Rodonio, the Senate Republican leader. What's the House's response to this?
We have just so much admiration for the work, the effort, and the time that has gone into what's going on in the Senate. We also know, and my Senator Heather Staines of Chicago, who's been one of the drivers in this, she and I talk regularly. We understand that there are still changes that the Senate is working on. We really look forward to it coming over to the House in a final version so we can analyze it and figure out, you know, whether we can support the entire package, whether we would recommend changes, or how we would proceed.
There are some other things in here. He's talking about employee health insurance savings that he says could raise upwards of $500 million. That is something that, you know, AFSCME is currently in negotiations with the state of Illinois. Democrats have a lot of fans in organized labor. Is that going anywhere?
Well, all I can tell you right now is the budget negotiations have broken down, the contract negotiations. The governor walked away from the table. It is there is a discussion whether there is an impasse. It is before the Labor Relations Board. The governor's actions are before the courts. So that's a very difficult area, and I understand we're expecting another major decision, or at least arguments about that in a court tomorrow.
How far along? You brought up the court tomorrow.
Right.
Of course, Attorney General Lisa Madigan is going to court in St. Clair County to try to overturn these continuing orders that allow employees to get paid in the state of Illinois. We don't presently have any appropriations in place. What happens if she's successful? Does that force?
Look at the way the state is left right now, since the governor has not introduced and passed the balanced budget for the last 2 years. We are being sued in court over our state employees, and they may be have their paychecks cut off. They may be forced out of work. We are being sued by the largest school district in Illinois. We are being sued by hundreds of charities, you know, who did work on behalf of the state of Illinois, then were not paid. Our expenditures right now are being governed by federal courts and consent decrees. We've just got to, you know, put this to an end. We need to work on a budget. That should be our number one priority, to find one that is real, that has the revenue to pay for our needs, and does not, you know, balance the budget on the backs of the most vulnerable.
Do the House Democrats have a budget proposal of their own that they're ready to counter with at this point, or is it all the Senate's ballgame?
We are right now waiting for the Senate to move its package over. We don't want to interfere in it. We do not want to appear to be gumming up the works. You know, we want to give them the space to do the negotiations that they've been doing so well.
Representative, is it possible, as it's been suggested, that we go another year without a budget?
I sure hope not.
Because what happens every day you go without a budget in the state of Illinois, you rack up millions of dollars and more in debt.
Well, and also look at the fact that Rich Miller, who I think you just interviewed before me here, had calculated before that the total cost savings, if we were to pass all of the governor's turnaround agenda, would have saved the state about $150 million. In this last year alone, we have spent $700 million on interest on our unpaid bills. So, you know, it has cost us $700 million while he holds out for $150 million. That just doesn't sound like good math.
Representative Harris, thanks so much for your time on Illinois Lawmakers. We certainly appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
As we continue with the Illinois Lawmakers program today, getting budget reaction from various leaders in the House and Senate, Governor Rauner a few minutes ago basically praised Senate President John Cullerton and Leader Redonio, the Senate Republican leader, for showing tremendous leadership and bringing all the parties together to find some common ground on a package of spending cuts, revenue, and changes to create jobs and ensure long-term balanced budgets. He said that he is hoping the Senate can move forward on this. We're now joined by the Senate President Pro Tem, Senator Don Harmon of Oak Brook. Good to have you on the program, Oak Park. Your reaction to the governor's budget message today?
Well, I've heard shorter explanations to the teacher why I didn't do my homework. But again, the governor for the third year in a row has failed to propose a balanced budget to the General Assembly. The only specifics that I heard from the governor were proposals to increase spending. I can't wait to see just how large the Rauner income tax hike is going to have to be to pay for all those new proposals.
Well, he talked about, in general terms, aspects of the grand bargain that's been hatched in the Senate by Senate President Cullerton and Leader Redonio. He talked about embracing some of those income tax increases, although he didn't want them on a permanent basis. He wants it coupled with a permanent property tax freeze.
Well, a permanent property tax freeze is very popular with all the folks we represent, but it has absolutely nothing to do with our state budget. Those are revenues generated at the local level by locally controlled school boards and municipalities, and they don't contribute to the state budget at all. Governor Rauner can't raise money through a property tax. He's going to have to do it through the income tax and the sales tax, and he seems to be taking some of those things off the table.
Talk about the negotiations that have gone into the grand bargain. There's something in there for everyone to hate on either side of the aisle. Republicans don't like tax increases. Democrats don't like pension cuts. They don't like cuts in benefits to state employees. How are you trying to move this thing toward the middle to a package that can pass here?
Well, we're looking for a truly bipartisan package of bills that, in the end, reach a sustainable, balanced budget. That's the most important thing. And Democrats and Republicans have come together to say, yes, we want to do that. Yes, we know there are difficult votes involved. Yes, we know we're going to have to vote to raise revenue, but we're willing to do that for the sake of the state. There's plenty of it, plenty in there for all of us to dislike in different degrees and on different parts. But the grand vision is a complete package that moves us into a balanced budget.
A few days ago, the Senate Democrats started actually voting on pieces of the grand bargain, much to the surprise of the Senate Republicans who weren't ready for that. What was your thinking on that?
I don't think there was any real surprise. There might have been some feigned surprise on the floor, but there was a general understanding we were going to start moving these. We can't sit on our hands week after week after week. We have to take these up if we're going to solve the state's problems. We said we'd vote on the low-hanging fruit. These were bills that were clearly negotiated by and supported by Republicans, yet they chose to vote present, and that was a real disappointment.
Did it harm the budget-making process in the Senate, the negotiations between both sides?
I think it was a temporary setback, but one we can move past, provided that there's an agreement to vote on these bills in their totality.
Is part of the reason that there's an urgency to vote on this because some of these the tax increases are retroactive going back to January 1, and the longer you wait on that, a bigger chunk it takes out of people's wallets as it finally takes effect?
That's absolutely right. It's not prudent to raise income taxes in particular in the middle of the year. Folks, expectations, if we don't do this close to the beginning of the year, it's going to be very difficult to implement.
Democrats have been putting on a united front in their criticism of the governor in recent days. They're accusing him of not doing his job by failing to submit a balanced budget. He says today's budget is balanced. If you go in there, you take the various aspects of the grand bargain and the spending cuts he's proposed. Where do you find the biggest problem with what he's putting on the table today?
Well, again, today, I don't think he proposed a balanced budget, and certainly in his rhetoric in the speech, he didn't. He talked about spending more money on some laudable things, but he didn't talk about any specific cuts, and that's a problem. The governor doesn't seem to have the political will to do his job. His job is to present a balanced budget that includes proposals for revenue and or existing revenue and cuts that he would make if we have to balance a budget today. He just didn't do his job.
He's avoided making painful cuts for the most part by putting a lot of this budget on cruise control for the last couple of years. About 90% of the budget is being paid for or is still going out the door. The income tax increase, of course, it sunsetted a couple of years ago, brings in around $32-33 billion, and we're spending at the rate of what, 38-39?
Well, Jack, you hit the nail on the head. It's not that the budget's on cruise control, it's that we're spending more than we have every single day by not having a budget. And that's a real problem. And we can't just sit back and say, well, we're spending it on the things that we should be, because we're not. The 10% of spending pressures that aren't being met at all are absolutely killing people. And we need to deal with that right now, right away. We need a balanced budget that is sustainable over the long term.
Of course, there's another aspect of this that's going on right now. The Attorney General Lisa Madigan is going to court in St. Clair County tomorrow to try and roll back the court orders that continue that spending. What happens if a lot of state government starts to grind to a halt?
Well, I think that I think that as unpleasant as it is, the Attorney General is correct. There is no authority to spend money on state government payroll without an appropriation. I hope that if this comes to pass, what it will do is show folks across the state that the government really is shutting down. we've been able to whistle past the graveyard on that, because when folks go to the driver's license facility or have some other interaction with state government, there's someone on the other side of the counter willing to help them.
There's a couple of different ideas that are being floated in the House at the moment to try and stop that from happening if she's successful. One would be kind of a continuing appropriation, which the governor likes. The other is one basically to take you down to the end of the fiscal year, June 30th. If that were to come to the Senate, which would be the preference over there?
I think both of them are just stopgap measures that don't solve the problem. We can't keep putting things on autopilot, as you said, and just survive without a budget. The Senate has a plan for a real budget, a sustainable budget, one that will be balanced year after year. And I think the Senate is prepared to advance the Senate proposals without concern for what the House might send us.
As we sit here today, do you think the likelihood is that we will actually have a vote on the grand bargain in the next couple of weeks or next couple of months?
It is my hope and my expectation that we will be taking this up before the end of February. I think there's an understanding in both the Democratic and Republican caucuses that this is an urgent matter that can't be delayed any further. So I'm looking forward to a vote, and I'm tired of waiting for next week. I'm hoping next week will come.
In all the time you've been in the Senate, Senator Harmon, have you ever had a moment, have you ever had a thought that the situation could be as bad as it is, that, you know, the wheels came off of this a couple of years ago, that we are in a situation that is totally unprecedented in our history as the state of Illinois, as well as the country?
You know, Jack, I've held town halls all over my district over many, many years, and I've always been able to reassure people that it's not as nearly as bad as you might think it is. I can't do that any longer. I think we are in a dire spot where the future of the state really is at risk. We need to act decisively, and we need to act decisively now.
Senator Harmon, thank you much for your time on Illinois Lawmakers. Always appreciate it. Good having you on the program.
Love being here with you.
We'll continue in just a few moments here with Amanda Vinicky from Chicago Tonight from WTTW. Our coverage of the governor's budget message continues here on Illinois Public Radio and television. The governor said today he wants to see a good deal. The final result must be a good deal for taxpayers and job creators. A grand bargain that truly balances the budget once and for all and moves the needle when it comes to job creation. Now, one of the things he's talking about is a hard cap on spending, forcing state government to live within its means. A lot of things in today's speech. Amanda joins us again as we wait for some of our other guests to come in. What are your main takeaways from today's speech, Amanda?
I got to get back to the laughter that was seemingly at Governor Bruce Rauner instead of with him, and what that portends for the budget going forward. If you were waiting to hear an embracing of his call to work together, I don't think you got that. And that's in part because Democrats that I've talked to already say, that's not how we heard it. We heard him saying, let's work together, after he pointed the finger at us. Further, a lot of just questions about the governor's ability to really go forward and make cuts. That's where you get back to this Democratic message that Bruce Rauner has not yet introduced a, quote, balanced budget. That's where you're getting that from. He has not delineated where exactly he'll make those cuts. We may still see that yet to come. This is, of course, just a political speech. Not often where you get into those sort of nitty-gritty details.
We're going to move into another phase of the program by having State Senator Bill Brady of Bloomington. He's the Republican deputy leader in the Illinois Senate and one of our favorite guests when it comes to breaking this thing down. Senator, good to have you on the show.
Good to be with you.
Your takeaway, the Democrats who've been in the chairs here the last few minutes or so have said, this isn't a balanced budget, this is a mess. There's nothing here we can agree with much.
Well, they've said that for the last 2 weeks. They said that yesterday before he even introduced the budget book. So it's a balanced budget, and the governor's outlined in this blue book cuts that will be taking place. I think he specifically stated, though, rather than that, he'd rather see us continue to work in the Senate along the lines that we have. And I think it was paramount that he took this opportunity to weigh in. I think he wants us to do the work, but I think he weighed in on some critical elements of the Senate package. One is it's got to be balanced, like his budget. Two is it has to have property tax relief paired with any revenues that are increased along with cuts. So and it has to have reforms for the business community so we can grow our way. The governor clearly stated we can't cut, we can't tax our way out of this. We've got to have growth in this state like our neighboring states.
He talked about a permanent property tax freeze in the state of Illinois. Your colleagues over there in the Senate haven't wanted to go quite that far. They talked about a temporary freeze. Local governments and school districts don't like the idea of any kind of freeze.
You're right, he did, but that's the same bill that passed the House at the end of last year. In a bipartisan way, it passed the House here. There's no reason we shouldn't take it up. And I know local governments are a little bit worried, but if we're gonna ask the taxpayers for more money to fund state operations, we've gotta give them some relief. And let's realize that this proposal would allow for a local referendum, the local voters, to decide that they wanted to go above that. So we're not eliminating local control, we're giving more local control to the voters in the district or the areas they need it.
He hinted at the idea of the income tax increase being possibly rolled back at some point if job growth and the economy picked up to the point where it could be. Isn't that what got us in this mess we're in right now?
Well, I think if we look at a temporary property tax freeze, we're probably looking at a temporary income tax increase. He's willing, I think as he's outlined, and I am willing, to support permanent both property tax freeze and the income tax. But what he's asked for, which we've asked Senator Colleton for, is spending caps. The idea behind spending caps, reasonable spending caps, controlling spending, hopefully as we grow our economy, will allow revenues to outpace expenditures. He said, and I believe he's right, that if that happens, those revenues should go back to the taxpayers. Unlike the Democrat proposal, which forced a rollback, this proposal, I think, is more responsible in that if there are surpluses, or as soon as there are surpluses, with the spending caps, the taxpayers will benefit.
He indicated that he is not for any kind of extension of the state's sales tax to food and drugs. That's been suggested. That would generate quite a bit of money.
Well, it would in a vacuum. What the governor outlined is he wants proposals that'll keep people in Illinois and cause more people to move to Illinois. Both the retirement tax that's been proposed and the food and drug tax would drive people out of our state. We need to keep people in our state. I think he said those are criteria. Let's not do things that push people out of our state. A retirement tax would force people to move to states where they don't even retire, they don't tax any income. And I think he correctly outlined the real dilemma in that tax.
Most states, of course, actually tax retirement income. That's a big bump in the revenue to the state of Illinois. And if you set the threshold for that at, say, maybe $50,000 or $75,000, and anything after that you tax. But that seems to be the third rail here at the Capitol.
And I really don't think there's much revenue, because those people can very much afford to move to states that don't tax income at all. And the problem with that concept, in a vacuum it may work, but if people leave, we lose their property taxes, we lose their sales taxes, we lose the other taxes from utilities and other things that they pay, not to mention their spending power in driving Illinois' economy. So we can't afford to lose those folks, and those higher income folks have the easiest ability to relocate to another state.
He did give a nod to the idea of extending the sales tax to certain services. That's been a part of the grand bargain for weeks now. How would that work, Senator?
Well, services, as you know, our economy has moved very much from just products to services. We're spending a lot more money on services than we ever did, and it's a continually growing area. So the idea is that we need to broaden the base of taxes, which will help us keep rates down. This tax would go very much like the Wisconsin model, which seems to have been positive in terms of not only generating revenues, but allowing them to broaden the base of taxation, keeping people in their state.
One of the things we heard today was the governor did open the door to, he gave us some idea about workers' compensation reform that he liked, the idea of Massachusetts, and in the minute or so we got left, what would that be? What's Massachusetts doing that we could mirror here?
Well, a couple of things that we've got is there's some court cases we want to correct. Probably the biggest thing is we've got fee schedules that are 400 or 500% of Medicare rate reimbursements. And so controlling the cost of health care and also some of the indemnity would help us move closer. The governor said to me that I don't want to get specific. I just want a package that the business community will tell me will help them get excited about creating jobs in Illinois.
In the last few seconds we have, are you optimistic, as the governor is, optimistic that this grand bargain can still pass?
I am, and I think the governor's message today helps us. I think Senator Colton and Leader Redonio should be given a great deal of credit for how far they brought us. Members of the Senate, in a bipartisan way, are working on compromise. The governor's message, I think, gives us what we need to maybe close the door on this deal in the next couple weeks.
Senator Brady, thank you so much. Amanda's going to stay with me for a moment as we switch out guests. We're going to hear from the House Republican leader, Jim Durkin, in just a moment. Senator Brady, thanks so much. We appreciate your time.
Great to be with you.
So, Amanda, what we're hearing is a good deal of what we thought we would hear here in the last few minutes as we hear from lawmakers about their ideas on this. Democrats, of course, saying, this thing's not balanced. This isn't even close. Republicans saying, no, this is a good opportunity for us to move forward on some things and make some real progress.
Well, what I'm really looking forward to doing is when we're done with this, when we're done with the speech and the ritual that goes along with it, is diving into what Senator Brady alluded to, and that is the quote-unquote budget book, and really getting into the numbers where it seems we might actually see the governor propose some of those material cuts, or at least a what-if scenario. He didn't talk about that here, and I think that does, however, contribute to this notion from Illinois taxpayers of you can have your cake and eat it too, you know, have a tax cut, but just live as the same way that things have gone. The governor didn't really dive into that so much. But again, really trying, it seems, we saw a continuation of the conciliatory tone that he took with the State of the State address.
Leader Durkin, good to have you on the program. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Our co-host today, Amanda Vinicky from Chicago Tonight.
I'm familiar with her.
I think you are. Your reaction, first of all, to what Governor Rauner had to say here. He is embracing some aspects of the grand bargain.
Well, one, the governor complied with his constitutional obligation. Despite the giggling and allegations, let me just say this for one. I've been in this chamber and I've listened to many budget addresses, State of the State addresses. I've been here for almost 20 years. And the level of disrespect and arrogance that I witnessed in this chamber today towards the governor from the Democrat majority, with their snickering and laughing, to me was extremely disrespectful, and I just think it was a poor way. It shows what their lack of, and I'll just say this, their lack of cooperation or just respect for the process that we are obligated to do by statute and under our Constitution. But that's why I emphasize that the governor fulfilled his constitutional obligation today. He gave two different roadmaps. We're going to file our budget bills under my name for the governor at the end of the week. He stated, give me the authority and I will make the cuts, or work in a collaborative manner where we can make up a difference of approximately $4.5 billion, but one which is going to set record levels of spending for K-12 education.
One of the things that you mentioned a little earlier, before the speech even started, these signs down here on the House Democrat side that said, Rauner budget equals fake news, which is, you know, the rallying cry for a lot of folks and what's going on in Washington at the moment. You were very upset about that.
I was. Again, it's about the day. This is a constitutionally mandated day for the governor to address not only just the members of the legislature, but all of Illinois and anybody else who was listening in, particularly at a time where we are at a very, very difficult crossroad. But to have signs out there, which, one, I don't believe any Democrat in the House or Senate has standing to talk about a budget, meaning fake news. They just need to look in the mirror and see what they have done to our budget and spending over the last 12 years, each one of them. And they'll be reminded, and so are their constituents as well. But the fact is, treat the chamber with respect. I preach that to my colleagues and my caucus on a regular basis. I was not satisfied with the speaker's response. And it's unfortunate that that is how they treat this process. But it should show, but to me, I'm not surprised. Look at the budgets that they've passed, and that's why we have $11 billion of unpaid bills. That's what happens when you pass budgets that are $2, $3 billion out of budget, $4 billion. And just last year, the House Democrats, $7 billion.
Leader, you said a little earlier that you were going to be introducing the governor's budget bills here in...
At the end of the week.
At the
that's
end of the
correct.
Week. Do you have any sense of what the individual cut lines might be, let's say, for higher education? I've seen some stuff floating around here that shows basically a multi-million dollar cut for higher ed.
No. The governor's speech and the introduction of these budget bills are a foundation, a starting point for negotiations to do something which Democrat majority seems to have a hard time understanding or learning, and that's called a balanced budget. That means you have to have revenues that meet spending, something that's apparently after today something that's absurd in the eyes of the majority. This is every year we go through this. A governor introduces his plan for how a budget should work. Every year, the House and Senate Democrats, under Republican but also Democrat governors, have basically said, the heck with you, we're going to do our own thing. And what they, when they do their own thing, it's a disaster for Illinois taxpayers. This is a starting point for negotiations. If they choose to negotiate with us, let me just say this. I, again, as I said at the budget address, I give great credit to the Senate Republican leader and also the president of the Senate to work on a compromise grand bargain. I think it's a great exercise, not even an exercise, I think it's a finally a moment where we can work together in a collaborative manner, something which I said at the inauguration that this is going to be done when we both recognize, respect, and honor the priorities of both caucuses.
One of the things that
I'm a little charged up, but I'm coming off a floor which I've never witnessed that level of.
I've known you for a long time, Leader. I've known you for a long time, and indeed you are worked up, no question about that. To the some of the things that he talked about in the budget address, he said that he could go with some of the ideas in the grand bargain, like increasing the income tax, but he wanted that coupled with a permanent property tax freeze. How is that, and rolling back, if the economy recovers enough, rolling back that income tax, isn't that kind of what the Democrats did a little earlier and got us into even more trouble?
I think the governor is just stating what he's saying. These speeches are general about what his wish list is. But the fact is, there's some people who wish to have a permanent income tax levied upon Illinois families and businesses. But if they want to go that route to get his signature, you have to give them relief at the property tax level. Is that realistic? I'm not sure. But again, this is an area that is clearly open for negotiation, because the governor said if you want it permanent, but if it's not permanent, there's a room for some length for both property tax freeze and also for the income tax.
What about a broader sales tax on state services? That's been mentioned before. It's part of the grand bargain. How would that fly on your side of the aisle in the House?
I believe that our caucus is open to expanding the service tax and sales tax to different areas within our commerce. He took off the table food and drugs and also the retirement tax. But this is part of, again, how are we going to mold together what he has stated is going to be approximately, with a spending limit of approximately 37, placing a cap of what he believes we can do, $37.5 billion, but we're having close to 33 coming in. So again, negotiation, where can we find some type of room where we think it's going to be least, I think they have the least impact economically upon Illinois consumers, but also people who drive through the state. It's not just limited to Illinois residents, and that's one selling point you can have out of it. But our caucus is open. But we have to. But I will. I've been saying this for 2 years, and I'll repeat what the governor says. If you're going to be asking for more revenue, you need to be able to deliver for us reforms that are important for my caucus and also for the governor.
Was there anything in what the governor had to say that was a deal killer for you?
We wrap up? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The governor has laid out things that are important for him, but he has also said that there's no absolutely have to type of item that's in his budget request.
We're going to have to leave it at that. Leader
thank
Durkin,
you.
Thank you so much
thank
for
you,
being
Jay.
On the program. Amanda Vinicky also, thank you. From all of us at Illinois Lawmakers in Springfield, good afternoon and so long from the Illinois State Capitol.